Okay, we are starting a new series, and actually for the next 5 weeks, you are going to be hopefully pushed out of your comfort zone, mostly about what you do outside of this morning and into the world. And so this idea of the title is called In the Name of Love, and actually next week we're going to give you cards and we're going to force you to go into your areas and into your communities and love on people and show practically what love is. But let me begin here. You've been robbed. You've been lied to. Love is a fancy word that our advertisers make millions, if not billions, of dollars off of. They make cards that express love, and they have TV shows that are just about romance and love. And the truth is almost everything that you hear, almost everything that you experience as it's related to that word has been taken, stolen, and polluted. And if you're not careful, you'll hear those things and assume that that's what love is. And some of the things that you would assume by watching, listening to music or watching movies is that you might assume that love is an emotion, that it's a feeling. At its worst, it is a solo infatuation, a longing, a desire for another that isn't met, that isn't returned. At best, it is pictured as a two-way proposition of emotion and affection, a kind of give-and-take arrangement where you meet my needs and I meet your needs. In both cases, this is not so modern-day version of love is fickle. Love tends to be more of a contract where it is, as long as the contract is kept in good terms, meaning you do your part, then I'll do my part, and everything will be okay. And then we get robbed, and our emotions get wounded because we settle for a love that is less than what God has demonstrated. And so what I want to do, and we're going to have a baptism at the end of the service, and so I want to compact this as much as I can into a responsible look of what love is. And I think there is no greater image of love than us looking specifically at the Word. And so what does love look like? Romans 5 verse 8 says, "But God shows his love for us that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Let me read that again. God shows his love for us that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So his love was a love that was willing to pay the penalty and pay the price for something that was not earned and not deserved. John 3:16, it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." So what kind of love is this? It is a love that is self-sacrificing, serving others in place of self, giving of self, and denying self. See, the problem is that if we live in the wrong side of love, we will think that we've done everything necessary to show the world what love is. And I believe it is the responsibility of the church to demonstrate, put flesh to the word of what love means. See, God literally put on skin and walked among us, and he led by example. One of my One of my favorite stories is that Jesus did everything different. If I was the Savior of the world, if I was the one that spoke things into existence, I would probably come into this world and go and demand your love. I would demand your affection. I would make people do the things that I want them to do instead of what Jesus did, and he came and did exactly the opposite. And one of the stories I think that best describes that is this. And in John 13, verses 12 through 17, Jesus did something that was unheard of. Jesus, the creator of the world, Jesus, who was going to be the Savior of the world, literally took off his outer garment, wrapped a towel around his waist, and got on the floor to wipe feet. Here you go in verse 12. It says, when he had washed their feet, he put on his outer garment and resumed his place. And he said to them, do you understand what I have done to you? He says, you call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you also should do just as I have done. See, Jesus did not come sometimes. Okay, let me back this up a little bit. Every parent is probably guilty of this. So I'm not just going to throw me under the bus. But we're guilty of sometimes demanding of our children to do things that we're not necessarily doing. Like, they want ice cream, you don't give them ice cream, but you eat ice cream in front of them. You know, they want to watch TV and something, so you take that away from them, but you watch the TV. And sometimes, not that that's always the bad case, but sometimes we don't lead necessarily by the example that we want them to fulfill. And we as parents demand that they facilitate and do things a certain way, and sometimes we're not the same. And my kids, as they get older, when they're younger, they're very unaware of these things. And as they get older, their consciousness kind of takes over, and they learn to reason and kind of debate with you on why you're doing what you're doing. So then I remember kind of early on of maybe 8, 9, 10 years old, where they started to kind of consciously think through what you're asking them to do and start asking the why. But, and then they start listing examples. Like, if you ever said something you shouldn't have, or if you ever have done something you shouldn't have, they will remember that and they will bring, but Dad, you remember last week you did this? And see, Jesus, he didn't do that. He literally came and lived by example. I mean, can you imagine this? And his disciples were knowingly unaware. Well, they didn't know. They were unaware completely of who Jesus was. I mean, they kind of got and they heard him, but really, until the resurrection, they were not clued in to who Jesus was. And you know, there's actually part of that where Peter, Jesus, who's my favorite because he does dumb things and God loves him and uses him and restores him. I love Peter. Peter, me and Peter, man, we're going to have some good times in heaven because he's going to pat me on the back and go, you're an idiot. And I'm going to go, thank you. But God still loves me because that's who he is. And so literally, Peter, he comes to Peter and he's like, hey, I'm going to wash your feet. And Peter's like, no. I can't let you do that. And, you know, it's like arguing with God is never a good idea. And he's saying, no. And he was like, well, you know, unless I do this, you're not going to be cleaned. And I love how he goes from one extreme of like, no, you're not touching my feet because they're disgusting, into he's like, well, then clean my whole body. Like, it's not just my feet. I understand. He's like, I understand that I need to be cleansed. And he goes, no, look, if you've taken a bath, all that needs to happen is that you clean the feet. And what makes this such an appropriate story for this idea of showing love is that Jesus did what was disgusting. Most of us are wearing shoes, and we didn't walk through the dirt that was filled with poop and other things that they walked through. I mean, their feet were disgusting. They were on the road every day, walking the path, and Jesus got in the middle of that and willingly put his hands on their disgusting feet and cleansed them. Not just so he could have a story that he cleaned feet, but so he could say, hey, look, this is what I do, and this is what I want you to do. He calls us to action. Because of that kind of love, our hearts have been captured. The cross is the most powerful picture of love in the universe, and that kind of love is attractive. It stands out. It validates the message. This is a word that a phrase that I'm going to say a few more times today. What we're going to do over the next 5 weeks outside of this Sunday is encourage you to validate the message of Jesus. See, the world knows what we hate. The world knows our hypocrisy. The world hasn't witnessed a whole lot of our love. And so what we're going to do over the next 5 weeks, what I'm going to do over the next 5 weeks, is encourage you and I to get outside of our comfort zone and love on people in the reality. Because one of our greatest open doors to the gospel isn't necessarily the words that come out of our mouths, but the actions that we walk into. 1 John 3, verses 16 through 18. Says, by this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. But if anyone has the world's good and sees his brother in need, and yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but deed and truth. What does it look like for us to literally begin to love people with action and truth? See, the problem is most of us have forgotten the reality of what Jesus is. And we didn't talk about this, and I think this might have been a late ad, but Good Good Father, somebody literally just gave me the CD like a week ago, and I had it on repeat this morning when I was at my office getting ready for today. And this is where we're at. The reason why we go love people isn't because pastor tells you to, isn't because, you know, even, you know, the Bible tells you to. It's because we have a good Father that right now is choosing to, willing to give us opportunity to reach into our world. We have someone that loves us, that we're loved by God. I love that chorus of that song because that's who we are. You know, the only way that we go outside of our comfort zone, because the reality is I'm going to give you next week cards, and you're going to have little cards sitting on your desk, sitting on your chairs, and I'm going to encourage you to grab some of those cards and take them into your workplace, take them into the coffee shop, take them into your neighborhood, and literally begin to look for ways that you can serve other people, whether it be buying the meal for the person behind you in the line at the fast food place, or buying a cup of coffee for somebody at PCJ, or mowing your neighbor's grass, or whatever, loving on somebody, bringing breakfast to everybody in your office, and just saying, this is God's love for you. It's free. They don't deserve it. We didn't deserve it. This is why we mimic Jesus. And I want us to get into a place that it becomes who we are. Everything that we do. See, one of the reasons we don't have a whole lot of program here at this church, meaning like organized things, is because I want us to get behind the idea that God has called us individually, God has called us in our small groups to reach into our world. And so, my last verse that I have today, and this is where I think it all leads to, and the reason why we love people, the reason why we love others, is because there's a good Father out there that has children in this city that don't know him. And one of the ways that he is going to open their eyes to his love is through your love for them. See, Jesus willingly came and put on flesh and walked among us, and he lived a life that was willing to be sacrificed. And he did everything necessary to earn our righteousness, went to the cross and died. And after his resurrection, I love that in the middle of that, even his biggest supporter, even my biggest, my apostle crush, I guess, Peter, was like, he tells Jesus in the going to the cross, Jesus is like, hey, you know, I'm going to die. And Peter's like, no, that ain't happening. I'm here. Even if I have to die in the process, that it's not going down like that. And, you know, and Jesus tells Peter, you know, well, you're going to deny me three times. And he's like, oh, no. And he was so confident that he wasn't. And then they were, you know, the band comes out there to arrest Jesus. And Peter, I think his willingness and his desire was to do what was in his heart, but he just couldn't fulfill it. And he pulled somebody, I don't know if it was his own sword, but he pulled somebody's sword out. And he just swung it. And he cut off somebody's ear. Like, you know you're a bad swordsman when you swing at somebody with a sword and you cut off just their ear. But he cuts off just their ear. Maybe that's the grace of God that he didn't kill somebody and have to deal with that. But he cuts off someone's ear. You know, Jesus picks up that ear and slaps it back onto the guy's head. And, you know, he's healed. And Peter runs off and is broken by that. And Jesus restores him. He brings him back. He said, if, you know, do you love me? And three times he says the same thing using, Jesus would use one word in the original language and Peter would use another lesser type of love. And he goes, oh, do you love me? And oh, yes, I love you. Then feed my sheep. And these were the last words that Jesus said to his people before he left in Matthew 28, 18 through 20. They're sitting around. He has told them what they needed to know. He has prepared them for his leaving. He's telling them, I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. In verse 18, it says, and Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Danny, if you'll go get changed, I'm going to prepare them for your baptism. I have had the pleasure of getting to know Danny and Alan, the two brothers that have been here for probably about 6 months. And several months ago, Danny gave his life, recommitted his life to Jesus, and is just wanting and desiring to walk in that faith. And this is why we are doing what we're doing for the next 5 weeks, is to lead people into a place of giving themselves to Jesus. This is why we exist. And so here's what we're going to do. In just a few minutes, Danny is going to get changed. He's going to come back in here and we're going to baptize him. And I'm going to explain a little bit what baptism is, and then we're going to give an opportunity and offer that if you've not been baptized and you want to be baptized, then we'll do it today. But here, let me explain, just because when I was 16, I was going to a good Presbyterian church. I had grown up in a Baptist church and a Presbyterian church, and I, if you asked me, would say, I love Jesus, I am for Jesus, I know what salvation means, I know what the cross is, and all this stuff, but I had not given my life to him. I had the knowledge of who he was, but there was no commitment. There was no longing to be his. It was just like, well, I don't want to go to hell. So I know being in the South, you need Jesus. And so I did that. And so at 16, I was going to start driving. I was terrified. This is a little, maybe a darker side of me that you don't know. But like when I was in high school, I really thought that I wasn't going to live. And I had this complex. I thought I was going to die before I turned 18. I don't know why. Just kind of had that thought, just roll with me, I'm still here. And so at 18, I'm thinking, hey, you know, this is not good. At 16, I'm starting to drive, and I had this thought, you know, like you could go at any moment, and I wanted to go to heaven. I didn't want to go to hell. I'd been in church long enough to know that, you know, you don't want here, you want here. And so they had started talking about a baptism, and so I went in, and we were Presbyterian, so you sprinkled. And so I was like, I got to get sprinkled, because in my mind, I was under the understanding that if you get, like if you know about Jesus and then you get baptized, then you're good. Like that you could pull out, like you die and you're waiting. I can't pull out my wallet because my thing's in there. You die and you go to heaven. He's like, why should I let you in? Oh, baptism card. Bam. Let me in. And I mean, really, for the next 2 years, that's the way I thought it was. I thought this is what it meant to be a follower of Jesus. You know intellectually who he is, and you get baptized, because that's what people do. You know, his word says that you should do that, and I thought I had done everything necessary. And so let's fast forward 2 years later. I go to a Young Life camp, spent a week in the upstate of North Carolina, and that whole week I started hearing this thing like called a personal relationship with Jesus. All these years, 18 years inside of church, I'd heard no, no, no. I had not heard anything like being in a relationship with Jesus, giving your life and let him be Lord and Savior. It was just knowledge. And so at the end of that week, I was crushed and drawn into the gospel and gave my life to Jesus. And so 18, at 24, I had not gotten baptized. We were sitting at my church back home that planted us here, and they started talking about baptism because they were doing a baptism Sunday, and the pastor started reading through the scripture. I'm sorry that I hadn't figured this out yet, but he started reading through the scripture, because here's the model. You get introduced to Jesus. He saves you. You say yes. You give him your life, and you get baptized. So me, I got sprinkled when I was 16. I got saved when I was 18. So I was just, I'm stealing this term from somebody, I was just a wet sinner. Because baptism is what follows. It is a symbolic gesture of who you are in Jesus. Because it's literally the mirror image of the grave. Because when you commit to being baptized, what you're being baptized into is his death. You're going under the water, and you come out into life. And so the reason why we offer these, the reason why we encourage these, isn't because this water, this is tap water from this middle school. There isn't anything holy, here the whole thing I'm going to say, about this box or this water. There is something very holy about our obedience to what God has asked us to do. And so, with that being said, if you've said yes to Jesus, not intellectually, like I believe that he exists, but you've said yes to Jesus and you've not been baptized and you find yourself in a place that you want to get baptized today, you can do that. And here's how that's going to happen. Chris and Eileen, one's going to be standing right outside of this doorway, and the other one's going to be in the teacher's lounge. In the teacher's lounge, we have shorts and t-shirts and underwear and undergarments and deodorant and brushes and all kinds of stuff. So we want to make it as convenient as possible. If this is not a pressure, this is not a pressure because we need one more, you know, check in our box that we had someone baptized. But if you find yourself in that place and you want to be baptized today, then while I'm baptizing Danny, you can go right outside, and then they'll take you over to where you can get changed. If not, awesome. Come on up, Danny. Yes! Come over here to this side first. So I met Danny through his brother like 6 months ago, and Danny and I have been meeting together for probably about 2 or 3 months, almost every week. And can I share about your reading through Acts?
Yep.
Okay. And so a couple weeks ago, we were talking, we meet every week and just kind of talk about life. And I was asking him, I was like, how's your reading going? And he's like, I'm not reading. I was like, okay. You know, being a pastor, you're like, oh, why is he not reading? What's going on? And so I'm like, well, why not? And he said, well, I was reading in Acts. And in Acts, I kept seeing people were getting baptized. They were getting saved. They were giving their life, and God was asking them to be baptized. And he was like, and I haven't, and I can't read anymore until I'm obedient. And so right then, we kind of planned this day to happen. And I just want to brag on Danny a little bit. I've been in ministry for 12 years. And I've met and counseled and set across the table from hundreds of people. And most people are missing a key component that this man has. Most people are unaware of their need and desire for God. And almost every week in our conversation, he is genuinely aware of his need and desire for Jesus. And he has such a heart for wanting to see God take every aspect of his life into his obedience. So it is my pleasure to be here for you on this day. So, Danny, why are you getting baptized today?
Being obedient to the gospel and, you know, letting God absorb my life.
Amen. You'll climb in. He said he wanted it a little cold, so we made it that. Careful to step. Okay, scoop forward a little bit so I don't bang your head. Okay. So, my friend, Danny, right now, he has given his life, he is actively walking in obedience, and so I'm going to baptize him. So you guys, we're going to cheer when he comes out of the water, okay? Because this is exciting. Okay, grab your nose. Danny, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Just sit down for just a second. I'm going to pray for you. You got to bear it. Okay, I'm gonna say a prayer, a blessing over Danny. So if you'll just kind of reach out your hand and pray and encourage him. Dear my Father, Lord, I just thank you for my brother and my friend. Lord, I thank you for a heart that desires to be obedient to you. And Lord, I pray that this symbolic gesture would be a game changer. Lord, I pray that this symbolic gesture would be a difference between our desire and our willingness to being poured into by you. And so, Lord, right now in Jesus' name, Lord, I just pray that you would pour out your Holy Spirit in a greater measure to my friend. Lord, I pray that his desire to be obedient and to be faithful to you, Lord, would be empowered by your grace and your Spirit. And so, Lord, I pray that you would give him visions and dreams. Lord, I pray that you would just begin to lead him and direct him into all the things of his life. Lord, I pray that that this would be the day that you would open the window to your heart and affection for your son, Danny. And Lord, I just pray that with all your encouragement, with all your love, that you would pour it out on my friend. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. Was it cold enough? It was good. Okay. So here's what I want to do. I'm going to close out our service and pray over you guys. Here's what I want you to prepare. God has many people in this city that at one time were just like Danny, that weren't experiencing the grace, weren't experiencing the mercy. His outlet for all of those people are you. Not me. I mean, I try to engage with as many people as I can and love on people, but I am one person. And so for the next 4 weeks, we every Sunday are practically going to give you the ability to leave this place and to love on somebody. Because in the name of love, this is why we do what we do. We don't do this so that we can grow our number to just grow our number. We don't do this so we can have more money in our pot. We don't do this to, you know, take pictures of it and put on the internet and say, oh, look what we're doing. We do this because this is what God has called us to do. And there are, I know for a fact, when God spoke to me originally to plant this church, there are hundreds, if not thousands, of people in this area that are his children that don't know it yet. And all they're waiting for is to somebody to walk into their life and to love them. You have no idea what one cup of coffee could do What one breakfast could do, what paying for someone's groceries could do, what loving on somebody in your neighborhood by doing their yard work, what, you know, cleaning their house. There are a multitude of things that we can do to love this city. And so I'm going to pray, and we're going to close our service. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I just thank you that you give us opportunity to experience you. And Lord, I pray that this week that you would give us opportunity to put on flesh and blood of your love, to literally walk out of our comfort zone and to give us eyes to see people that need to be loved, people need to be encouraged. And Lord, I pray that you would be that you would give us the grace and strength to do that. And Lord, I just pray for anybody in this room, Lord, if they're discouraged, if they're overwhelmed by life, Lord, that right now, Lord, that you would just encourage them. Lord, I pray that the hymn of that song, that you are a good, good father, Lord, would be known to every single person in this room. And Lord, we just give you our lives. Lord, help us be children that that love you so much that we're willing to do whatever you ask. We pray these things in your powerful name. Amen.